नमस्ते फ्रेंड्स, सुस्वागतम एंड वेलकम टू वर्ड्स ऑफ विजडम ज्ञान गंगा ऑन आ विराट हिंदुस्तान संगम सोशल मीडिया चैनल. आई एम वेरी हैप्पी टू से दैट एज पर द इंग्लिश कैलेंडर एंड ऑल्सो एज पर आवर हिंदू कैलेंडर वी आर कंप्लीटिंग 3 years ऑफ द ज्ञान गंगा वर्ड्स ऑफ विजडम. वी स्टार्टेड ऑन रामनवमी डे ऑन द 2nd of April इन 2000. And that is during the COVID period. And as you well know, that now we are going strong. Earlier few months, we had a daily program. And now we have a weekly program every Sunday at 8 p.m. I thank our viewers and listeners across the globe for watching us on numerous channels. Just for your information, I take this opportunity to tell you that we are on Twitter Spaces, VHS and Dr. Swami's Twitter Periscope handle, Instagram, multiple YouTube channels, multiple Facebook pages, and different podcast channels like Apple, Amazon Music, Google, etc. So we thank you for your patronage for week after week every Sunday to watch this program live in more than 121 countries. I also have to thank our viewers for their support we got for the last Sunday program. The viewership on various channels was more than 160,000 viewers across the globe. So with this, I will be now taking you to the subject. Today's subject is national events and its impact on the Karnataka elections, which you all know is slated for the month of May, to be precise on the 10th of May 2023 in Karnataka, and the results are expected by 13th of May. So with these words, it will be over to Dr. Swami. But before that, I have to thank my co-host Arvind Chaturvedi and Ramesh Swami for being with us on this show from the inception, and also our technical team led by Ashish Shetty, Tejas Navalgol, Swami Nathan, Ishwar Iyer, Vishal Mehta, Gargi Rakesh and Ajesh Nair for their background support to put this program together week after week. So with these words, it's over to Dr. Swami to initiate this discussion on the Karnataka polls. Over to Dr. Swami.
Yeah, thank you, Jagdish. This is indeed a very important subject because it's just before the final Lok Sabha elections. And we need to look at this with great detail, and it's going to be a changing situation. I think you people all know that that in Gujarat, the initial polls were all saying that BJP is going to be wiped out. But by the end of the results, when the results came, it was quite the opposite, because, you know, the margins are such that you can get it wrong depending on the mood. The mood also changes, new events happen, and so many other things happen. So therefore, I would say that at this juncture, it's not a very good thing to predict who's going to win, who's not. Maybe, of course, these pollsters, if they have to make a business, they will put out anything you like. As far as I can say that I have intimate connections with Bangalore. Both my parents lived there and died there. My father, after a government, after serving his government and retiring, he moved to Bangalore, and he stayed there. And I have two sisters who also lived, and then they also were aged when they died. I mean, there's nothing about Bangalore to say that so many of my people died, but I have connections. I have still a sister who lives in Bangalore, who often, whenever I go there, I could see her. So the question basically is this: Bangalore is by itself a cosmopolitan city. It's also a international city. It's got a name because of the software and then branching into so many other areas. But Bangalore is also historically very important, because the Mysore kings, and the way that lady Chennamma fought and defeated the enemies of India, So, I mean, it's a tremendous. And then, of course, you have archaeological wonders that you see in Bangalore. So, not Bangalore, in Karnataka. So, Karnataka is a special thing. And as far as we in, who are originally from Jansang, stream, we know that the first encouragement we got in the south was Bangalore. And at that time, Yadurappa was, in fact, a young man who was building it up brick by brick. So that's why I thought that let's follow this through, and this is going to change. So let me start by introducing to people who don't know much about Bangalore, about Karnataka, what this election is all about. First of all, the number of seats in the assembly is 224. And because Karnataka has borders with Tamil Nadu, it has borders with Maharashtra, it has borders with Telangana, and of course it has ocean on the western side. So it's a uniquely placed state, and many of them have been very, very progressive in terms of economic development, standing on your own feet and so on. Mangalore is a city which people wonder when they go there, how this city has gone up like this. So all said and done, I mean, it was a great victory for us, not once but twice, from 2008 onwards. So we need to win Bangalore again, if possible, and at least to try everything that is available. As of now, I would say that we are ahead, although pollsters say something else, but my own sense is that we are ahead. But ahead is not enough, because the swing factor is such that it can change everything. Everything. So first of all, let me say that I consider this city, because Bangalore is a mini India. It has international companies, it has national educational centers, it has spiritual centers. It's a tremendous city, and almost everywhere in the world people have heard of Bangalore and want to come to Bangalore also. So at present, the BJP has a comfortable majority of 119 seats, and it's the only state where we have done so well. We have some kind of presence in Telangana, some kind of presence in Andhra. Tamil Nadu is a joke, because every time we have to catch on to somebody's tailcoat and then try to get five seats or something like that in alliance. We don't have any independent existence. Kerala, there nobody takes our name except in a few areas. So of the four southern states, Bangalore, which was in my opinion historically very, very important state, part of an important state, and that is Karnataka, we have been ruling party, and it's a matter of great pride, and we should see that the leadership in Karnataka of the BJP is encouraged and not put down and made to feel like colonies or something like that. I mean, the way officials sometimes in parties they treat, it happens very often in Congress, but I don't think we should catch that fever. Now, let me this also say that the first BJP government came into existence in 2008 with Yadurappa as chief minister. And before that, the Janata Party, of which BJP was a part, I mean, that is, Jansangh was a part, that also had come to taking benefit of the emergency and the fight that we put up. We came to power, and Mr. Ramkrishna Hegde became the CM. Of course, he had to go because I caught him tapping telephones, not only of Devagoda and Ajit Singh, who was the president at that time of the party, but also all his girlfriends with whom they were meeting and so on. It was gross misuse. So I raised it, and I must say our party was so, Janata Party was so democratic that in the parliamentary board, I was asked to present the evidence. Then Biju Patnaik and Devi Lal and of course Chandrasekhar, all of them questioned Hegde, and finally told them, you better resign, because what you have done is wrong. We can't defend it. So the Janata Party is the one that struck the roots for the BJP, because most of BJP went there. Now, question that you have to ask is, what is the economic factor that attracts everybody to Karnataka? And mostly it is Bangalore which attracts. And in Karnataka itself as a whole produces 8% of the GDP. You know, very few states will produce that kind of number, but they do. And even more significant is that not only Bangalore, but parts of Bangalore, you have aerospace companies, you have science research institutes. Bangalore has always had a very fun institute of science, but now it has IIMs, information technology, it is famous. All these software things that were then done by outsourcing, and from that we learned and we biotech, and now of course defense production. So I mean, this is an ultra modern thing. Secondly, Hindutva wise, this is the first Shankaracharya. Now remember, Adi Shankara was from Kerala. He went on a padyatra. And then Shastrat. Shastrat means discussion. I discuss with you. You are a Buddhist. I am a Hindu, a Sanatani. So if I defeat you in the debate, you become a Sanatani. If you defeat me, I become a Buddhist. This way he went place. And finally, the biggest scholar, Mandana Mishra in Bihar, he confronted him. And he won the debate. And then he appointed the first mutt of the Shankaracharya and the first Jagat Guru, and that was in Sringeri, and he brought in Mandana Mishra as a sannyasi who took over that thing. So there's a historic background. You can see many more temples, this thing. I mean, there's no shortage of it. And there have been wars, and for a brief while somebody like Tipu Sultan came on, but then he was defeated. So there have been a number of things. The British never made them as a part of Britain or British Empire. They only made them to say that as far as your foreign policy and your national policy is concerned, you will have to have a British resident, and the king will continue to rule. So the Mysore king actually continued to do. Now, there are other states also. In future, I hope I can take it up. For instance, Orissa. Orissa also has a tremendous history, which nobody teaches, you see. So, but I'm saying that right now we are concentrating on Bangalore, because Bangalore is economically, internationally, much more than Orissa as of now. So the question today is that it's because it's such an important thing, both from the Hindutva point of view, both from the view cultural point of view, history point of view, and modern technology point of view. I think Karnataka is something we must give much more attention than any other state, I would say, even though you may say I'm biased because I have connections with that state. Now, the challenger for us is Congress. I mean, there is Devagoda, but Devagoda is the balancing factor. So if he goes here, the government is formed there. If he comes here, the government is formed. So Devagoda is having it, having a good time, so to speak. Devagoda, of course, we all know him. He was a Janata Party member, and in fact, whatever we achieved during the after the emergency was over in Karnataka was due to Devagoda. But then after that, split came, this thing happened, that thing, and now he's on his own, on route. But the fact is that they have had alliance both with Congress and with us, and it doesn't seem to affect their cadre. How can you be in both places? Go up and down like that. But in he has got that kind of backing of his Vokalika group, and therefore this becomes a factor. So if the Congress defeats, I said if, because I'm not sure they're going to win, because there are other factors which I'll just now come to, why I think Congress will ultimately, like in Gujarat, it all sort of fizzling out very fast. The question is, if the Congress defeats BJP, then 2024, we are in deep trouble. Real deep trouble. Because Karnataka effect is the same effect we enjoyed earlier when we started there, and then it spread and spread and spread. So Karnataka is crucial, and all of us need to work. Of course, I don't know the style of Modi and Amit Shah. They don't want anybody except those whom they know or will take orders from them. I don't know. I certainly have not been invited. I've been invited on a regular basis. Jagdish knows that. He has to do my programs to Karnataka. And I'm again going very soon for the Kodavas to get them their autonomous region. The BJP style, we can't even complain, because they have been winning with whatever they have assembled together. They've been winning. So what do you say? Why don't you consider me? I can't say that. I've been in politics for almost 50 years now. So therefore, I don't know what the strategy and all these things are going to be. But I would say that please know one thing, that the only thing you have to do is defeat Congress, and you will form the government. Why? Because the fact is that the division, the contest is very, very stiff. But we have one advantage. We are much more disciplined than Congress. And in Congress, there are three people who are contending for chief minister. One is Kharge, the other is Siddaramaiah, and the third is Shivakumar. Now, if one says that in Congress, everything will be decided by the Italian family, then, of course, I don't think that Shivakumar has much of a chance if they are going to do the selecting. And if he doesn't have a chance, and it looks so because they're going to name the chief minister in advance, then I'm afraid Congress is going to lose, and lose, in my opinion, badly. So Shivakumar is a Vokaliga, belongs to the same caste as or subcaste, I should say. He's not a. It's a part of the same agricultural varna, but in the varna there is a group called Vokaliga, and this Vokaliga is a very powerful group, and it's a large group. They are farmers and they are very loyal. So he is there. So if he's put aside, I don't know how what kind of a good a sporting player he would be, saying, all right, it doesn't matter. I'll have some good portfolio and do it. I don't know. But the fact is that the voter would be disappointed. And the Vokaliga voter disappointed means either they'll go to Devagoda or to us. So this is the key thing that we have to watch while putting up good candidates, not all the chamchas who come to Delhi and do muska and get a ticket. No. That failed badly in Bengal. It failed badly in many other places. And let us not have it filled very badly in Himachal. So let's not have that situation there. Take this as Mahabharat in a sense, that you win this, then 2024 is just easy going. So in that context, I would say that we, those of us who have any special knowledge on how this thing, because Congress doesn't like somebody who's independent, you know, they have not been able to tolerate that particular their family. And so Shiv Kumar is the probability of his being selected by them is seems very rare, unless they know this is our last chance. We are wiped out now here, we are gone. Something like that. But if the Congress family behaves, the top family behaves the way they normally behave, Shiv Kumar would not be a candidate. In which case, Kharge or Siddaramaiah, no chance are going to be. Although Siddaramaiah is an old friend of mine, I know him for a long time. So broadly, this is the picture I want to have taken up 20 minutes. Over to you, Jagdish, and let's see what my other colleagues want to say.
Dr. Swami, we will try to have a question-answer session based on many questions our viewers have raised. I'm selecting one important question is, how important is Yeduraappa factor in the forthcoming Karnataka elections? If you can, in short, let us know. Our viewers are really interested from across Karnataka and other parts of India.
Well, you see, the people put him as in caste terms, you see, which is not a very big caste. I don't think so. There's a sentiment that this man worked for us. This man did this. He brought us. He was the first chief minister. He was brought us the victory. I can say as a Jansang man, I have seen in my own eyes how from nothing, where we are nobodies. And Karnataka, you know that Mrs. Gandhi got all the seats at one stage. Even Chikmagalur, she was able to come, even though Janata had come to power in Delhi. But you know, the Yeduraappa, in my opinion, has always been a person who's available to workers. He is as his life is just politics. He doesn't care a damn about anybody to be pleased. But he's disciplined. If you call him Delhi, he'll come. But the fact is that he's an established father figure, in my opinion, in our party. And, you know, let me tell you, all this corruption that I heard, I know what Jetli was doing. I know what everyone was doing, how they, put him into. You're chief minister, and then you send some emissary to say, pay up so much, send a suitcase of so many crores, or you're not going to be chief minister. You know, this kind of situation where he was compelled. But I'll say all that is in the past. Let me say, today, BJP wants to survive and survive well enough to be a factor to win the 2024 parliamentary election. They must hand over the whole running of the elections to Yeduraappa. Otherwise, some miracle may happen, I don't know. But my knowledge of Karnataka is they are very sentimental people in such matters. And they will then say, okay, you haven't done very well economically. Yes, there's no doubt. Everybody's complaining. My sister complains to me, what is your party doing? What's your party doing? So I've seen middle class very upset, and middle class are the ones who changed the picture earlier when Congress was all the time winning. Suddenly change came because the middle class revolted. So let me answer in one line that Yeduraappa is a key factor who should be asked to lead the, like a general, he should be the general for the war.
Thank you, Dr. Swami. Next question, Arvind,
can you unmute yourself? I think he's frozen.
Ramesh, you have your next.
Yeah,
question.
I can ask. Okay. Dr. Swami, as one of the viewers said, this government has been very famously being said as a 40% government. How big is corruption? How big is it going to be an impact? How big impact is it going to have on?
Well, corruption, you can't beat the Congress. And we were very close to beating them, but didn't beat them. But in the, there's a difference. Our workers, and particularly those who have strong links with RSS, they are by and large still regarded as very upright, honest people. So I think we can, by campaign and by, and you must defend people who have been falsely accused or have been brought in and dragged into this corruption thing. But those who have 40%, this thing, after all, you must remember, Bommai is not come from Jansan. He comes from, his father I knew very well, was very, very nice man, very decent person. I knew this present chief minister also when he was a little boy. But the fact is, if you get a stamp, then it becomes very difficult. So the best thing for him to do is to move aside. And the Lingayat is not a problem, because as long as Yediyurappa has got the prime of position. But more than that, you would have shown that you're seriously worried about corruption.
Okay. Jagdish, you want to take the next question?
Dr. Swami, this infighting in the Congress on their leadership in Karnataka, there are three leaders. Will that have any impact on Congress going unitedly in Karnataka?
No, the Congress has a long history of fighting amongst themselves. But when the elections come, everybody gets a little share, and they by and large, there's no revolt. If Congress animosity to each other is not moral. It's purely, I or you, it's my turn, your turn, that sort of thing. And so when a decision is taken and they know that there's no place else they can go to except Congress, and most of the congressmen who have gone have a different stature once they go to other parties. I won't name them, but I will tell you that I knew many congressmen who came with great hopes and then they found they just fizzled out in some other party. So I think Congress, to expect Congress infighting and all, no. The only thing you can expect is that if Shiv Kumar is not made the chief minister's candidate, then I can assure you that the public will become hostile to Congress.
But Dr. Swami, there are a lot of corruption allegations on Shiv Kumar, but no action has been taken. If what you say at least comes true, I'm pretty sure that this government will do an ED and CBI on Shiv Kumar pretty soon. So why has there been no action on people like Shiv Kumar?
It can't be done now. It's too late.
Okay.
You see, secondly, are you saying that in our own camp, we have people who have not been corrupt and you have done nothing about it, despite my writing letters on it? So, I tell you what, in brief, I'm trying to say. Public is angry about corruption, but they don't see qualitative difference between parties. So that cannot be a final factor.
Okay. What do you think, Dr. Swami, one of the questions are, has Congress has gained any lost ground with this, with Bharat Jodo Yatra? They seem to have, at least the perception is that, do you think they have gained any ground in Karnataka?
No, you see, they have Bharat Jodo and all, that is all bakwas in the sense, what happened in Himachal? Why did we lose? We have never lost Himachal for a long, long time. But then you sidelined Shanta Kumar, did a lot of wrong things. I can give you this fat thing. I know Himachal very well. And as I have a habit of claiming every state as some part of me, my mother became pregnant in Himachal, so I can claim some Himachali connection. I can tell you that this is a state which was literally in our pocket. Nobody could take it away. The sentiment, the attitude, everything. But you lost it. And you lost it with to a person who nobody knew. So, of course, he was Congress. So I would say that, you know, the main question is, will the Congress unite? Yes, they know this is their last chance. If there was already, they are not lost the other chances. But this one, they have to win, because otherwise going to 2024 is going to be very difficult. And Congress will not be acceptable by other parties in the opposition to be the leader, which is, of course, something which the Sonia Gandhi and the family members will never agree to.
Arvindji, your question. You got disconnected, so yeah.
Yeah, I got disconnected sometime. So I wanted to ask this 40% government, because Karnataka is known as 40% government, at least under Mumbai. And Dr. Swami answered that question. So I have other question, which is basically when we talk about national events affecting Karnataka government. You see, in last 15 days or so, all over the country, I mean, in majority of the states where BJP is present, there have been communal issues after the Ram Navami processions and all that. And it suits double engine government, as well as wherever there is a single engine government, both the state governments and the local administration somehow try to protect these hoodlums, these gundas, these elements, which are on both sides of the two religious spectrum, whether the Hindus or the Muslims. Do you think this will also affect the government election in Karnataka? Because when the last elections held in North India, especially in Uttar Pradesh, there was an hijab issue in Karnataka. It originated from Karnataka, but it affected the elections all over the states. And similarly, the hijab issue is also rising again and again in Karnataka. So the Hindu-Muslim divide, will it affect Karnataka? Polarization.
Well, you know, if the Muslims would be about 14-15% of Karnataka, the Congress has, you know, if we look like a Lingayat dominated party, or the propaganda goes in, the Vokaligas in a good share will either go to Devgoda, I cannot say where he will go. I mean, he could be with you, he could be with them. I would say, you know, this corruption being a deciding factor, I think we should do something with corruption, because it will all rot away, this, you see. And the younger generation which is coming is much more, I mean, actively hostile to this idea that some corrupt persons have been some corrupt pieces have been sitting in a high position. Now, let me ask you a question. Has the Adani factor completely disappeared? We don't hear it. You can manage the newspapers. But are people not talking about it? And that's a national factor. How it's going to be received? Because when the whole corruption, I will fight corruption, neither BJP nor Congress has somebody who can say publicly whom the leadership of the BJP or the Congress will accept, saying, I will fight corruption, and people will believe it. So therefore, I would not go too far on this corruption question. Whether he's 40% or 30% and so on, because that's going to be a small factor. There will be a factor, but it will be a small factor. I know many people who are morally still upset about corruption, and they may want to teach us a lesson or teach Congress a lesson. I don't know. But it won't be a deciding factor.
Now, what about the religion thing, this communal tension?
Well, how do you sell the idea? They ask you what happened to Ram Setu, why haven't you declared it as a National Heritage Monument? Why did you take over all the temples? Why have you taken temples in Maharashtra? Vithal Rukmani temple. Why did you take over all the temples in Uttarakhand, for which I had to go to court and get it, struck down on its key part that they, the court struck down the fact that the Tijori or the treasury will be with the government, with the chief minister. I got that cancelled, and therefore they were lucky. Then, of course, the chief minister himself decided that I was gone too far, so he denationalized it all. So where have you, where is the ideology? The ideological fervor is much, much less today than it was even 10 years ago. I mean, certainly even 5 years ago. It was waning, but it is. It's not a, Hindutva cannot be a basis now with the same faces in BJP to do it, because they have all violated the sacred principles.
To be, no, BJP knows that they are not pro-Hindutva, and Hindus have been saying that BJP is not pro-Hindutva, but they only count on polarization. So if the Muslims unite against BJP, BJP gains, and BJP is happy. If there is a communal tension all over, the only party which gains significantly is BJP.
Well, that was when we were Jansang. And I have very serious doubts whether today if there's a riot and the BJP is in government there, people will say, all these Muslims are... There are people who have very strong views on Muslims. And we have to look at the fact that, they are now maybe 13-14%. You can't wipe them out. Shouldn't have taken them. You should have done what Dr. Ambedkar said. Have exchange of population or don't do partition. And we did the worst of both worlds. But today they are part, and I know many, many Muslims are now in very key positions in government and intelligence bureau. So, and they're all very patriotic. Now, how do you make a distinction between Hindu, Muslim? I know a lot of Muslims are crooked as hell. Is Adani not a Hindu? Can I give you more examples? So I think you need a set of people who are known for having done something concrete for the Hindus. Then they go and campaign saying Hinduism is in danger. Please don't look at the other things. We'll correct it. But there's nobody BJP has who can go and say, I'm sorry, we did not yet make Ram Setu a National Heritage Monument, or free the temples. Have we freed any temples? We have taken more temples. The Maharashtra is an example of that. And I think the Hindu factor is not going to be a big factor in this election.
So Dr. Swami, that brings us to the critical question. One of the questions, I also have some thing about the economy. Compared to last year, February, this is the government data that if you go today to their government website, I'm not talking about CPI or bigger numbers. I'm just talking about food grains and the basic food commodity that has risen 10% over last February, as of this February. That's the latest data that has come out. And plus the savings rate of India have come down drastically compared to last year. Again, which basically means there are two things. A, there are job losses, like this viewer has just said, obviously, because IT is taking a big hit, even in the US. So by default, it's affecting people in Karnataka. And people are living out of their savings. I mean, is that going to have an impact on this election?
It will have an impact if the people who are challenging us have some credibility on this score. Miss Sonia Gandhi is on bail. Her son is on bail. Anyway, I could have sent them to jail, but there are obstructions which I can't mention in a public program, which took me by surprise, but now I'll overcome it and I'll go. How many people, at least you see, you may have your underlings who are doing corruption and get caught and maybe even go to jail. But if your top leader has that, then Congress cannot ever defeat BJP on corruption issue. because it has become so thoroughly, stamped on them that these people are greedy people. And then Rahul Gandhi himself, his style of going abroad and then wearing suit boot and come back and attacking India, you know, the sentiment has been stirred. He doesn't realize all this Padyatra effect is all gone completely. And he'll find out this when this latest has there been any uproar on the fact that he has been kicked out from Lok Sabha, or that he is going to go to jail for 8 years? I mean, he's going to be out of politics for 8 years if the present thing is not overturned by a higher court. So I think, what BJP must do is tell people, yes, we agree, there has been, and we will rectify it, and you must do some rectification right away. I don't think that the Bommai should be now your electoral face. And you can sell Yadurupa, even though a lot of his enemies have tried to make him out to be a very corrupt person, which he's not. I, as a person who has fought and studied corruption in India, I can tell you that except the amount of pressure that was put by the central party, I can even name names because some of them, of course, are dead, so I should be naming them anyway. But he crumbled to that. And collecting money for the party is not the same thing as corruption. Corruption is when you say, I will change this policy for this amount. And a minister has to sign. So you can easily find out who did it and how it was done. Otherwise, it's just saying corrupt, but ultimately nothing has happened.
Dr. Swami, I have one more question about the fringe elements in Karnataka politics. They may not be very large in numbers or in terms of voters, but they affect maybe 25 to 30 seats together. There is a large number of people from Tamil Nadu in Karnataka, which is bordering state. Then there's a large number of people who are Andhrites, Reddies from Andhra. Then there's the issue of this Maharashtra Ekikaran Samiti, the Belgaum issue and other things. And the fourth fringe element is Shriram Sene, which has decided now to contest the election on its own. Earlier they were at least they were supporting BJP. These four elements put together, even if they affect 5 seats each, roughly about 25 seats are affected. Do you think this will be a factor as an impediment in BJP forming the government?
See, in order to win an election in any constituency, you have to get at least 30% vote. Now, these people have been running in 2%, 1%, 3%. I don't think that their time has come where middle classes, working classes and all, will say, now let's try them. They are new. Even for Jansangh, we had to fight all the way. And there were people who spoke with ideologically, for example, the Deen Dayal Upadhyay, Mukherjee, the Sangha, Guru Golwalkar in his speeches. They all gave a structure of what society will be like. And in that, it included the unity of Hindus, which means getting above all these caste systems, you see. People were trying to make this as a Brahmin movement and all. Everything has been destroyed over a period of time. But it took a long time. So I don't think I would worry about them. Let them stand alone and try their luck. But the fact of the matter is, this is a contest between two major forces, with one in the middle picking up the pieces, so to speak. And it is really BJP versus Congress. And we must settle this Congress issue before we go to 2024 by saying that there's no future for Congress as long as Sonia Gandhi, Rahul Gandhi, Priyanka Gandhi, Vadra is his own name, any of these people are in the mainstream of politics.
But Dr. Swami, it's very easy for this government to follow up on your cases or even throw them to jail. They still are not doing it. With, I mean, it is now, it's, as you said, it's too late. But before 2024, if you send in do two of these major crooks, basically, if you look, Sonia Gandhi and Rahul Gandhi, who are caught in this National Herald scam, and obviously Rahul Gandhi in his citizenship scam, you know, there's too many things that are in BJP's favor that they can put these two people, the Italians, out of business.
Okay, yeah, it takes only 5 minutes to end the citizenship of Rahul Gandhi, but they're not doing it. Because there has been a Machiavellian, you know what I mean by Machiavellian, Machiavellian approach that, you know, pursue these people and then blackmail them into silence, you know, that sort of thing. Second, you know, to fight corruption, it's not that we didn't have honest people in the past. I would say Morarji, all said and done, his son, this, that, everything Congress tried, but he was a very, very honest person. Narasimha Rao was an honest person. Chandrasekhar was transparent as any politician can be, so I'll call him an honest person. There's nothing he did which was anti-national or at the cost of the country. So there, we have had now this question of collecting crores and crores and crores, you see. In every, you know, even BCCI, you know, I am finding all kinds of stories coming up. So therefore, I think, you know, the institutions shouldn't get corroded. Then we can rescue our country from corruption. But the moment you start becoming saying, okay, ye bhi chalta, wo bhi chalta, the institutions of democracy are sacred and they should not be corrupted.
Dr. Swami, of late, we've been hearing a lot of these, trivial issues, but they're getting blown out of, getting out of proportion. One was this BBC issue, then there was this Soros issue, now the Modi degree issue. Do you think these things are going to have an impact on the election?
Well, it will have an impact in select layers of our society. For instance, if you shut down BBC, I would say those who are sipping coffee in restaurants, they're the ones will be the most agitated. Not that I'm in favor of it. I don't think we should bother. If another democratic country has a thing which goes on saying it, you use your media to retaliate. But to say that, ban it, this thing, so on. then you see, you have foreigners now discussing it, discovering your corruption or your anti-human rights thing by this Pegasus. Pegasus is a big scandal. The moment it comes out, it's going to shock everybody. The whole thing. So, S-400, you know, any day the Russians can blackmail you on that. So, I'm not identifying who they can blackmail, but I'm saying that they are in a position to blackmail important people. So, this is the thing that I would worry about. You know, the question of going to the public and saying, I'm going to be honest henceforth, that will not carry credibility.
Okay, Jagdi, Arvindji, you can conclude.
Yeah, but before we conclude, I'll just make one remark and I want Dr. Swami's reaction. It has been seen, I mean, even in the present government that we have, BJP did not win the majority. They say, whosoever gets a majority votes doesn't matter. Government will be formed by BJP.
By the way, you want me to answer that?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're too young to remember, but I have heard this during Mrs. Gandhi's time regularly.
Yeah.
When Bhajan Lal came with the entire cabinet.
Yeah.
And merged into Congress, you see. So,
We have seen Goa or Arunachal Pradesh. Several examples are there now.
That's right. So, this is not the way. This is not why we are in politics. you know, then what is the use of saying Hindutva and, you know, the glory of Ramchandra ji? And after all, if you want to know, a man who was seriously religious was Ravan. Ravan was a very religious man. And, you know, he used to pray to Shiva all the time. So, but he was a mean character. So, therefore, you know, so, the you know, the we Hindus have at least a very broad view of how to, what to forgive and what not to forgive. So, I don't think that what concern you have put is, you know, really valid.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Swami. And before I conclude, I'll repeat what Jagdish said in the beginning. Our viewers should be thanked for being with us for last 3 years and growing in numbers, growing in geographical areas. And we have reached more than 121 countries. And the YouTube subscribers have also grown beyond 1 lakh. And this is because of the consistently, the words of wisdom Gyan Ganga has been discussing subjects of national importance. And any particular topic which nation needs to discuss, Dr. Swami has been there. We have been invited guests for on different topics. So I must also thank all the guests who have contributed to our last 3 years program on this third anniversary. Thank you very much, viewers, and all the guests who have joined us. Thank you, Jagdish. Thank you, Ramesh Swami, for being consistently with us for 3 years and getting viewers in large numbers. Thanks the technical team led by Ashish Shetty. I must congratulate this technical team also, because over the period of time, we have grown technologically and our program has improved technologically. Therefore, thanks must, special thanks is due to Ashish Shetty, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Swaminathan, Tejas Navalgul, Vishal Mehta, and Ajesh Nair. We will be meeting again next Sunday in 193rd episode of Words of Wisdom Gyan Ganga, 9th of April. Till then, Namaskar, Jai Hind.
Jai Hind. Dhanyavad.